Good morning, everyone. Hope everyone enjoyed their vacation. We are...
That was a vacation.
Well,
some people... Where are you from?
All the cooking and cleaning. We're in Shmuel Bays. And we are in Perk Chof Dalid, which is the last chapter. Yeah, well, this is actually only our second week. We actually may... We're not going to finish. I don't want to finish this week, because if we finish this week, we will have finished Shmuel Aleph and Shmuel Beis, and we'll be moving on to Malachim Aleph. We have to have a huge party, yeah. I'm always in favor of a party. I never disagree when someone wants a party. We are up to Pasuk Yud on page 384. Now, to begin, just to remind ourselves of what was going on, as this is the very end of Shmuel Beis, we imagine something dramatic would happen in this chapter. And in fact, it does. It starts off by telling us in the very beginning of Pasuk Aleph about how Hashem was angry at the Jewish people, even though many of the commentators, Rashi and the Radak, concluded are not exactly sure what was the reason why Hashem was so upset. And we discussed at length various reasons, but that's really not our focal point today. Our focus is what David chose to do. David did something which was unusual, something which was clearly against the Torah, which is to count the Jewish people, apparently by a head count. We typically find that whenever the Jewish people are counted, there's a census, they have a shekel, we use currency. There's other ways of doing it so that you can still get to the number without actually limiting a Jew, saying you are number 4, as opposed to number 3, you are number 11, etc., so on and so forth. David makes this mistake. It was so obvious that this was a mistake, that as we saw in Pasuk Gimel and Dalet, that Yoav, who was instructed to actually take part in the census, he initially told David that there was no reason to do so. It doesn't make any sense. And the question, of course, is why would David make such a mistake? So one of the things that we mentioned was that possibly David thought that that was a decree only in that generation, the generation of the wilderness. One could not be counted. However, for various reasons, now it's not an issue. It would be allowed. And the other question that we discussed is why David felt it was so important to do so. And one of the reasons we said...
To count
the Jewish people. Who cares? One of the answers actually we said was that he actually did use a shekel. But the fact that it was not a necessary counting, you still don't count Jewish people, even in that way, unless it's necessary. It's like we have a census in the United States every 10 years. To do it every year is cumbersome. To have someone knocking on my door even every 10 years is a pain. So to do it more than is necessary is wrong. And that's perhaps the reason why David's mistake. Not that he actually counted them by a head count, which is a simple reading. So we mentioned, and it's actually also found in the English on page 383, why would David want to do so? What's the incentive? So, some people say that this was a lack of David's faith, that David wanted to know how many people he had in his army, and perhaps that shows that he felt that the way that we'd be victorious and successful in battle is not because of Hashem, but because of our own physical abilities and our own physical strength. And that showed his weakness. Also, because Hashem was angry, usually when God gets angry, people start dying. So David wanted to know what was going on. What are the numbers of what was happening? How many people were there? How many people are there now? To be able to get a better sense of exactly what was going on in the losses of all the Jewish people. But we're going to see, because he counted them, it ends up that there was even a greater amount of people that will end up dying, as we'll see today. One of the other points that we mentioned was in Pasuk Ches. Pasuk Ches told us that it took Yoav really had no choice. He tried to persuade David not to force him to count, but he ended up doing it anyway because David said, "You better." He forced him into it. Yoav was very apprehensive about the whole thing. So the Pasuk Ches actually says that it took 9 months, an estimate of 20 days, which is a tremendous amount of time to do this census. And the fact that it took so long, the question is, why did it take him so long? And the answer is because he deliberately stretched everything out. He mapped out exactly which people he should ask first. And as we actually saw in Pasuk Hey, which Rashi points out, he went to the tribe of Gad. The tribe of Gad are known to be very vocal and also very strong-willed, and that they would have certainly have spoken up and said, this is unacceptable. Why are you doing a head count? This is wrong. No one did. No one spoke up. And that's perhaps the reason why we see that David is not the only one who is punished. David is not the person that we're seeing in this parak that he's punished. But we'll see that a plague will occur, that others will be punished, many Jews will die. The question is, what did they do wrong? David is the one that did this counting. The answer is that just as David knew this sentence in the Torah, so did everyone else. And if you see that there's something that's going wrong, for you to stand idly and not to say anything, not to do anything, you're also held accountable. And therefore, the fact that the Jewish people saw that this census was going on, and it wasn't just a one-time thing, I wasn't thinking, it was for 9 months and 20 days, and still no one spoke up during that entire duration, that entire time, therefore we are also held accountable, and therefore we as a nation are going to be punished. We're at the Pasuk Yud. So Pasuk Yud begins, V'yach lev David osa. So after this counting, and we mentioned the number of how many people actually were counted, and the number was unfortunately not so high. So V'yach lev David osa achrei kein. We're at the bottom of page 384. That his heart was hit, which could mean that he was like, was we hit our heart when we say vidoy, but as it's brought down in the Radak says was the very, very, very bottom, v'yach lev David oso, bring down the Targum, v'chash David belibe, kolomer chashosh al avon sh'asa, he felt bad and his heart was weakened for the sin that he had committed. Exactly. He realized that he had made a mistake. V'yomer David el Hashem, so the Pasuk Yud continues, and David turned to Hashem, and without pointing fingers or passing the buck, Chatasi ma'od, asher asisi. That which I did was a mistake. Chatasi, I sinned, ma'od. It was a great sin. So instead of saying, no one warned me, someone could have given me better advice, Chatasi ma'od. He accepts the responsibility for his own actions. He doesn't place the blame on others. There certainly must be a reason. It usually means some type of hesitance or some type of delay. So, he was upset and contemplating over it, and then he turns to Hashem and acknowledges his mistake, which perhaps means that he didn't just immediately say this. He didn't immediately say Chatasi Ma'od, but first he had this feeling of regret and this self-consciousness that he had, and then only afterwards he said it. It's possible that that's the reason why there's this gap. So, but regardless, he does admit to his mistakes, his wrongdoing. V'yata Hashem, and now God, haver nas avon, please remove the sin, abdecha, of your servant. He niskalti ma'od. Niskalti, as is translated on the previous one, to the Sion, is a lashon of sichlus v'shtus. I've acted in a foolish manner, ma'od, very much. And certainly one could hear this and say, what changed? We don't find any change in any of the sentences. For 9 months and 20 days, David stuck to his guns. He never stopped the census. And all of a sudden, afterwards, after the whole census was over, now all of a sudden he has this regret. Now he feels bad. And we know that this is the nature of sin. That when a person wishes to be engaged in something which is sinful, or while in the process of doing so, as he calls it, kineskalti, that word gives us an insight. As we said, Mesudas Sion calls it shtus. That acted foolish. I acted like almost temporary insanity. And therefore, at the time that I was engaged in sin, I wasn't thinking rationally. I wasn't able to think this through. And it was only afterwards after the sin and all that, the taiva, the desire, whatever his desire was, to feel powerful, that look, I'm such a powerful king, I have all these soldiers that are below me, that will do whatever I tell them to do. So at that moment, he then felt this regret. So that's...
Why did he feel he did wrong? What happened?
Well,
he's...
It's just strange because he was warned by Yoav. It took so long for it to do, and then the minute that it was finished, then
he must have suspected something. Maybe he thought that the people did not grow. The growth was not enough. As soon as he had the answer and he saw the growth was great, he realized what did I need to know.
That's a good answer.
The punishment is going to come, and sure enough, it comes.
So perhaps if he heard that the number was large, then he would have said, oh, so there's nothing wrong. So the fact that he saw a smaller number.
No. I think he saw the larger number. He suspected that maybe there was not great growth.
Right.
Because Yoav taught him the 100 times.
Right, that he saw much.
That there was a great growth.
Right.
But he wanted to know for sure.
Right.
So he counted, but as soon as he counted and he got the result that he did not expect, that was better than he suspected it might be,
right.
He no longer needed it. He already had it, so now he realizes I didn't need it. He was right. I should have looked around and I did wrong.
So the fact he could have, he should have accepted Yoav's...
saying, look around, look carefully, see that there were people or whatever.
So once he realized it was true, then he said,
I wasted
a useless census, which I shouldn't have done. Okay, that's very good. That's a nice answer. So, and therefore, he certainly at this point now realizes his mistake. And when he makes a mistake, there are consequences. He has to be punished some way. So what happened? So Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayakum David Baboker. So David arises, he wakes up the next day. And it doesn't say Vayashkin. It doesn't say that he woke up. Vayakum means he got up. So a lot of times in the Torah it says Vayashkin Avram Baboker.
It means he got up. We don't want to zest. He did it quickly.
Right, we said that's usually his reason Matim and Avram went to do a mitzvah right away. Mm-hmm. The Radak points out this language like this. It says Vayakum David Baboker, at the very top on page 386, the first Radak, Lo Shachav Liba Belayla, that his heart did not sleep at night. He was very restless in his sleep. Become Baboker. And therefore it just means that he got up out of bed, but he really didn't get a good night's sleep. And he ball of God Hanavi Badavar Hashem Shenigo Elah Belayla. So, and as you're gonna see, this prophet whose name is God, who actually is a very famous prophet that we read about every single morning, he is going to end up revealing to David that which was said to him, to God. And so therefore, David realized that there was something going on. There was some terrible thing that he did. And when that happens, you just can't get a good night's sleep. How can you sleep at night? So he couldn't sleep at night because he realized the errors of his ways. So the Yalkim David Bavoker, which apparently... when the census was going on, he slept like a baby those 9 months and 20 days. But it was afterwards, once he realized his mistake, that he couldn't sleep well. U'davar Hashem hoya el God hanavi chose David lemor. And the words of God were given over to God, who was a prophet, who was a seer, and he was instructed to speak to David the following. He gave him an ultimatum. He gave him options. Hello, halach v'dibarta el David. So Hashem said, go and speak to David. I'm going to give you three things. You can choose door number one, door number two, or door number three. But unfortunately, unlike that show, what was that show called? To Tell the Truth.
With Monty Hall. What was that? Let's Make a Deal.
Thank you. In the show, Let's Make a Deal, at least one of them is decent. Here, all the three doors are going to be not so good. They're all going to be terrible. They're all three different punishments. And which of the three would you choose? So choose one of these options that are going to be given. This is what I want you, God, to say to David. And of course, this is exactly what he's going to say. What are those three things? Now we're going to see what the three things are. So God turns to David and he speaks to him. And he says, This is choice number one. If you want, Sheva Shanim, for 7 years, there will be a Rav, there will be a famine, Biartzecha, in your land. Doesn't mean the entire world, not the whole world, just in your land, where you reign as a king, there will be a tremendous famine. So you can get food in other places. You can leave Israel and go to another country. You can go to Mitzrayim, for example. But it'll be for those 7 years. That's choice number one. Choice number two. V'im shlosha chadashim nuscha lifnei tzarecha. Another choice is not for 7 years, but for 3 months. Nuscha lifnei tzarecha. Nuscha nususion chances tihinas ubareach. You're going to have to run away from your enemies. And it's not just because you think you have an enemy, but you really don't, and you're just being paranoid and delusional. They're really going to be pursuing you. So for 3 months, you're going to be running here and there. And the truth is, David, it's probably not the biggest deal. You're kind of used to it. You've done it your entire life. What's another 3 months going to do? Then here's another, the third choice. If you want, not for 3 months, but for 3 days. It's interesting, it goes from 7 years to 3 months, 3 days. Why it's not 3 years of famine, I'm not sure. But nonetheless, the third choice is being Heyo Shloshes Yomim Dever. For 3 days, there will be some type of Dever, a plague, Biartzecha, in your land. So people are going to get sick, there'll be a case of swine flu or whatever. Atada, now you know, through A and C, Ma'ashiv Shoichi Davar. What was sent to you? In other words, you have this option, you can choose one of these three things. Whatever you say is what will happen. None of them are very good, but you have the option to choose your fate, your punishment, whichever one you want. Now on this, there is a break. Right, it's kind of unusual, strange. It is very
bizarre.
But here bizarre.
You have a character of a person who shows up. What? Here, with these three choices, this character is going to show up. He's going to choose to flee to save
the nation. Right, so we're
going to... If we choose...
We'll have to see what the choice he will accept. But you're right, this perhaps is some type of test in itself to determine the character of David. But there is a huge break. There's a break in the sentences where in Pasuk Yudalad, which obviously means that David didn't just answer quickly. When it comes to such a decision, none of them sound very good. Probably without reading the sentences, it's worthwhile thinking on our own which one would we choose if we were actually given such a choice, which is not just for ourselves, but also for the entire, for the country.
Only the second one affects the first one.
That's what it sounds like.
Right, that's why I would think he would take it.
You're right, that's what it sounds like. Unless you would maybe say for those 3 months, without a king, there'll be anarchy. People won't be able to live properly because there'll be no powers, there'll be no king. But you would think, certainly the second one seems the most logical, as he casts all the blame on himself.
But while he is hesitating, the Dever strikes it for 3 days. His answer should have come immediately, not after the hesitation, after the people already were dying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so
well...
his character is a little...
As of this moment, we don't know his response,
next
but...
Line.
Oh, so let's see the next line. Yomer David El God. And I underline this because I say this every morning. This is said as the first sentence in by Shacharis at Tachnun. When a person places their arm, their hand, their head, they fall upon their arm, which is the prayer of Tachnun, which is said every morning, the very first sentence is this sentence. And without understanding what we are just learning about, you can say this sentence every single day without truly appreciating what was really going on.
What is the sentence
that you... This which I'm about... Vayomer David, Pasuk Yudalad. Pasuk Yudalad, if you look, it is part of Tachnun, the very first sentence of Tachnun when one puts their head on their arm. Vayomer David El God. So David says to God, Sarli Ma'od, that I'm in tremendous stress. Nibla no biyad Hashem. Let me please fall in the hands of God. Ki rabim rachamov. Because Hashem has a tremendous amount of compassion. V'ad adam ala poilo. However, when it comes to man, when it comes to adam ala poilo, that I will not allow myself to fall. And this is when we say tachnun, in which we're falling on our hand, we are showing our subservience to God, and we're acknowledging our connection to Hashem, as opposed to man. So in the Art Scroll on page 132, it's translated as, and David said to God, I'm exceedingly distressed, let us fall into Hashem's hand, for his mercies are abundant, but let me not fall into human hands. And it says in the English on the bottom in the Art Scroll Siddur, which is part of our part of the chakra service, it said that King David had sinned by taking a census of the Jews in a manner contrary to that prescribed in the Torah. God, through the agency of the prophet Gad, gave King David a choice of three calamities, one of which he and his people would have to suffer in atonement for his sin. 7 years of hunger, 3 months of defeat in battle. It's interesting, that's how they translate it. 3 months of defeat in battle. So it's not necessarily just him running. It's not just him. That's how it's translated here. That's what it sounds like in the sentence. It's just him running away from his enemies, but it's the way it's being translated is all the Jewish people are being pursued by a huge army. Or a three-day death plague. David chose the last, as we're going to see, because that one would be inflicted directly by God, whose mercy is ever present, even when his wrath is aroused. His choice proved the correct one when God mercifully halted the plague after a duration of only half a day, or even less, as we'll see in the sentences. Similarly, in Tachnun, we cast ourselves upon God's compassion. So that's what we say again in the very first sentence of Nefilas Apayim, or of Tachnun, this sentence that we just read.
So it's not said if it's a
because it's a very this sentence sarli ma'od, I'm in tremendous pain. Right. Tachnun is a downer, right. Sarli ma'od, I'm exceedingly distressed. So we can't say sarli ma'od and such a happy occasion. That's also the reason why there's a lot of times that we skip the paragraph of Lamatseach, which we say in the second sentence, B'yom Tzara. It's a day of anguish, which, if it's not Yom Tzara, which is like on Yom Tov, we don't say Lamatzeach on Shabbos or Yom Tov. Rosh Chodesh today, we also skip Lamatzeach. No, we don't say Lamatzeach. So again, it's anything which is a day of happiness. No, we don't say Tachanun. Right. Tachanun is not said either. Tachnun is actually not said a lot of different times. People always try to find a good reason not to say Tachnun. I'm not sure why, but that's the prayer that's... Yeah, I guess that's the simple reason. Fine. So anyway, so this is the sentence which proves of Yad Adam Alapola that he did not want to choose anything in which he has to rely on a person. So the first choice is a famine in which there's food. Some people have food, some people don't have food, so you have to buy food. So that's something which is connected to people. The second, which is an army chasing David and David's people. Also, that's something which is connected to people. But a devor, a plague, some type of tragedy that's happening, some virus that's going throughout the country or the world, that is something in which is connected by God, because it's not something which we have any control over whatsoever. No one could point to a person and say, could you please stop it? Because it's impossible. It's only with Hashem's assistance to stop such a plague, such a virus. Unless you get those new shots, which I don't recommend. Some do, some things not so. Yeah, so if we look now in, starting off in the Radak gives us a little bit more insight into what we just explained. The logic behind David's choice, which is the last medium-sized line, which is only four medium-sized lines, and then it's going to become wider. It starts off with Yud-Dalad in bold, Niflo Biyad Hashem, that I should fall, Niflo Nel Biyad Hashem, by God's hand. So on this, he says, Zehu Hadever. This is clear that the choice that David makes, even though he doesn't say it, so he doesn't really make a choice, but he, through his words, it's implicated exactly what he wants, and that's never the plague should be the one that should be chosen. Kamo hini ka Hashem, which is referring to the plague in Parshas Bo of Dever, the plague of the people of death, is a connection to Hashem directly. That there is no person that's involved in this, but it's Hashem's hand. The Odin, furthermore, now we're in the first wide line of the Radak, Ki Barav, when it comes to hunger, Avo Pishu Biyad Hashem. Hashem is the one that causes it to rain, for there to be a drought, for there to be a bumper crop, or a blight, or whatnot. Yipul Gamkin Biyad Adam. There is man's hand that is involved. Shielchul Mitzrayim. Because we can simply travel to another country. Because the Pasuk, as we mentioned, is that the famine will be bi'artzecha, in your land. Doesn't mean that there'll be a famine everywhere. So we can travel to another country. So if we go to another country, that food will be available.
Like Naomi did.
That's right, like his
grandparents. His grandparents. Great grandparents. Family did that.
Who did?
Bethlehem. They left Bethlehem and went to Moab.
Right. That's what they do. And there's a famine. They go to Mitzrayim.
So why shouldn't he pick that? That he won't use that
effectively. Because it's still connected to man. He wanted something directly to Hashem. And as we saw in the English, it says Ki Rabim. The pasuk says Ki Rabim Rachamav, which means that if I choose the others, you're telling me it's going to be for a certain amount of time. Well, it will certainly not be any less. It may even be more. Who says? If it's something which is in the hands of a person, which a person has the bechira, has the free will to choose to cause harm to someone, so maybe it's going to be worse. But when it comes to a plague, which is only Hashem, so even though Hashem did say it was going to be for 3 days, maybe it'll be less. If we do tshuva right away, maybe it'll be only for, who knows, maybe even only half a day, which is what ends up happening. And so David was correct in that thought process. Continues the Radak, Oloshar Atzos, Lishbor Bar Belechem, that he would go to Mitzrayim or some other land to be able to collect, which has supplies and storehouses of bread and sustenance. Abel Hadever, Ein Bo El Yad Hashem Levad. Only Hashem's hand is there. Lefichach, therefore, Hamuvim Mamilas Biyad Hashem Hu Hadever. It was very clear that what he would want is the plague, which is the only of the three choices, which is with God's hand. L'fichach, b'achar hu b'dever, he chose this, ki hu b'yad Hashem levad, only Hashem's hand. Abel, b'shnayim, the other two, and this is another reason the Radak gives, ha'yecherpa b'goyim, b'noslu l'fnei oyveihem, b'negachlu l'fneihem. So what's going to happen? It's going to be an embarrassment for the Jewish people that we are going to be running to other nations, or in this situation, that we're going to be pursued by other nations, which shows that we are much weaker than they are. So if I would choose that David, which doesn't mean just the king, but also his army is being pursued, it shows a lack of strength on behalf of the Jewish people, that they're being pursued by their enemies. The Chayn Barah, so too when it comes to a famine. Ki haya hochim b'artzos ha-goyim b'hoyu cherpa b'hem. We should be living in Israel. And here we are in a famine in Israel, so we're going to go to another country. We can't support ourselves, so we're going to go to another country and beg them to give us sustenance to be able to help support the people in our country. So that's something which is humiliation. It's tremendous embarrassment attached to it. And therefore, it's better that we should have nothing to do with people, and it should only be directly to God. And Rashi echoes this point. We look in Yud-Dalad, where it says, again, Nipo Nobiyat Hashem, Hadever, which again Rashi agrees, that is referring to the plague, that people are going to die. Bo'acherev Arov. He didn't choose the sword, being pursued by the sword, or starvation. Shigam Humaser L'Ashirim Oitzu Peros. because, as we mentioned in the Radak, that when it comes to starvation, it does not affect everyone. It doesn't affect the wealthy people or those who have fruits. You can just go to them and it'll be fine. When it comes to the Deber,
Naomi had to go to
they were rich.
They were very rich.
Who was rich?
Naomi,
David's family.
So, does the what Rashi is saying is only the plague affects everyone, but the famine did not affect everyone.
But
you're saying it did.
The famine.
It should affect everyone.
If it's for 1 year, for 1 month, it doesn't affect everyone. But if it's for 7 years,
Well, even then, the wealthy could survive better than the people.
But from the Witt's own family, they didn't. They left. That's how the Witt comes to be. Mm-hmm. Because they left Bethlehem to go to Mark.
But they didn't want to support the people.
That's not midrash. But from what we read, that's not the case. The thing is that He experienced hunger. He experienced being chased, personally being chased.
Right.
Did he ever experience magifa?
He's alive. I mean.
But when they came back from Israel, there were magifot amongst Israel. But
right.
I don't remember in Shmuel any magifot. That he did not experience how horrendous
and modified. Right. Certainly out of the three, it's something which she has the least exposure to, for
and
sure.
And it's the worst of all the
probably,
three.
Probably, if it's only going to last for 3 days.
In 1 day can kill what a war can't kill.
Right. So, which, on some level, the question is why would he make such a choice? It's kind of strange.
They thought if he is a righteous man, he would choose himself.
Right.
But it wasn't only himself. He said that it was the feet, and if the feet is not just for him,
these are not from what we are reading now.
Uh-huh.
What we are reading now.
Yeah, I mean, when it says the feet, it doesn't. It's not so clear what God was saying.
It's a question of pride.
It's
a question of hundreds of thousands of people dying in 1 week.
So what do you mean by pride? What's the
pride? It's a pride of the nation.
Right. Well, that's
nation
kind of
that we're defeated. We are hungry.
Right.
That's pride.
Right.
But when you have like a far, you're dead.
It's not all right. Some
no
people.
Time for pride.
But it doesn't. Right. The plague doesn't affects the strong and the weak equally.
That's right.
So therefore, it doesn't take away from the.
Yes,
it doesn't.
But
it doesn't
dead.
Diminish
it
our
can
pride.
Kill a whole nation.
Hopefully it wouldn't kill off a whole nation. God wouldn't do that, but that's really what the Radak was saying. The Radak was saying that the other choices would diminish our pride. It would be an embarrassment, a humiliation to be pursued, which means that we're weak, or that we're starving and we have to rely on other people, which means we don't have the money to support our own.
You're coming out of people who are constantly losing. Shoftim, they're constantly losing. Shmuel, they're constantly losing. They're first now become a nation. So all of these things they experience, but the mother father have not experienced.
You're bothered why he would choose this.
Yes.
So let's see, maybe this Rashi will help us out address that question. We continue with the words of Rashi. Amar Rabbi Alexandri. Amar David, that this was David's logic. Imani borili hacher v'achshav. If I choose the sword, Yisrael Omrim, what will people say? Hu boiteach b'gvurav, that he has trust in his own physical strength. Shul yomos v'acher mimusu, that David thinks that he's going to be victorious, we're going to win, and they will die. So, before we continue with the words of the Rashi, we mentioned that one reason why he did this census, the reason why he did the counting, according to the interpretation of the Ralbag, was that he seemed to put his trust in military might rather than in God's help. Accordingly, he wanted a census to determine how many potential soldiers were at his disposal. So this, according to what is being said here, if he would have chosen the sword, that would have shown that he really didn't do tshuva. He wasn't right. He would have still have just continued along the same line of thinking. So if we look at it this way, at least this answers one of the three.
This is like Tshuva almost.
He was given, are you really sincere? You're saying Chatasi? Let me see. So this is the reason why he was given this choice, even though normally not given a choice. Chatasi, you say you really made a mistake and you want to do Tshuva? I'm giving you three options, and by the determination of which three you choose, it'll show how sincere you really were. So if he would have chosen the sword, says Rashi, it would have shown that he really didn't do tshuva. That the whole reason why he did the census originally, which was his mistake, is because he relied on military might. So if he chose the sword, he'd be like, you know what? We may be defeated, but you know what? We may not. We're pretty strong. And therefore, that wouldn't have accomplished what was needed to be accomplished over here, by choosing that one. Let's continue in Rashi, see if we can answer the second one as well. The imani boyer harav. David said, if I choose the famine, yomer boteachu b'oishro, everly dever shakol shoven bo. So he said, you know what, if I choose the famine, so even though we were just discussing, perhaps David, being wealthy, would think, you know what, it's fine, I can choose this and I'll be okay, everything's going to be fine. I have enough food to last for another 100 years. 7 years? Big deal. Piece of cake. I can easily survive that. And so some people may be hungry. We'll have to make rations and do what we can. Yosef did it, right? So I'll prepare for it a little bit. I'll save up some things. I'll tax people more before this famine comes about. So, again, by doing so, says the Yalkut Shimoni, it wouldn't have proven his true emunah, his true faith in God. Rather, it would have just said, you know what? Big deal. I can do it. I'm powerful. I'm strong. And by going full circle, what is Pasuk Yudal really saying? Is by him choosing Dever, he's accepting that it's not, he has nothing. I have no power. I'm completely subservient. And that's what we're supposed to do in our Shemana
Shiloh too.
Right, that's right. I should have translated the last part, which is beautiful. Then he says, "Let me choose Dever Shakol Shoven Bo." Mm-hmm. So therefore,
it's
just because I'm very strong, I can hide in my Eiffel Tower, and I have all this food to survive. But the truth is, when it comes to a plague, if there's a virus, no one is safe from that illness. So even myself, and therefore I'm going to choose something. So unlike the way we initially interpreted it, Dever actually is him taking the most responsibility because he realizes that when it comes to an army, so even if I'm pursued, so maybe other people will die, but they will show allegiance to the king and I will probably survive this terrible battle. There's a starvation, there's famine. So what happens in the time of a famine? I was in Buckingham Palace with my uncle. They couldn't believe you could actually go there in the summer and see what it looks like. He said, what was going on in England? Starvation. Look at all this wealth that they amassed. Ridiculous. But the truth is, that's how David would have been as well. David would have survived this famine. But when it comes to the plague, he says, you know what, Chatasi, I made a mistake. I will accept the consequences. Out of these three, the only one which will definitely affect me is the plague.
I have a problem between Pesuk Yud Aleph and Yud Bet, that space between Vayakam David Bebokir,
right,
and then space with Var Shemaya El God.
Right.
He went to sleep at night and he did not sleep. Why doesn't he go to God at this point? Why is he waiting for me? If he realizes what he has done, that he did the wrong thing, that was the time to build the Mizbeach, to go to God and not just...
I mean, David, as we do, instead of going to an intermediary, David did turn directly to God. To capital G. Well, it's still
right.
Capital G.
Yes.
G-O-D.
Right, but David,
El Hashem.
Acting, he's not acting at this point yet the way he acts.
But he does say
what would you want him to do? He acknowledged his mistake, he turned to Hashem directly. I said, Hashem, I made a mistake. I realize I made a mistake.
He's waiting for Hashem to come back to him and tell him he should
do. And that space perhaps is the anticipation and his inability to sleep because he knows that something is going to happen.
It's going to happen. He's expecting what comes on. He's expecting.
Right, right. So, yeah, and perhaps that's the significance of that space. But because of this dever, the plague will occur. And as we will see, this dever is going to last. It's going to kill a tremendous amount of people. Let's just conclude. Let's just see one more pasuk.
How long
will it
last?
It's
supposed to be 3 days, no?
Should be for 3 days. Let's just see this last pasuk, even though we're a couple minutes over. But this will just... V'yitin Hashem dever b'Yisrael. So there's no... You can't dispute it. The pasuk says that Hashem gave this plague upon the Jewish people, this pestilence, as it's translated into English. Mi'aboker v'ad eis moed, from the morning until eis moed, which is translated here until a set time. V'yomos min ha'am midan v'ad ber sheva, Shivim Elef Ish. A lot of people died. It was not just one or two people. 70,000. We'll just conclude by looking...
This isn't the same endeavor like we had in Makos?
Yeah, in fact, the Radak...
The thought there was from the animals, wasn't it?
But it's still a plague. Right, right. Until Makos Bechoros was a plague for people. Number five.
The itself is a plague? It's not
it was a pestilence to... Yeah.
To the animals.
Yeah,
that,
in
that
the...
Animals?
Right.
Is that the big animals?
It was, yeah, in fact, that's, you're absolutely right, because as we saw in the Radak, which is the last medium-sized line, what says, Zehu Adever, Kamo, just like it says, Hine Yad Hashem. If you look in the parentheses, which is the very Shmos Tes Gimel, which is Parshas Bo, which talks about the plague of Dever, which is on animals, but it's still God's involvement, direct hand in that plague. So let's just the Radak says, we'll conclude with this thought. The Radak says in Pasuk Tezvah, Mehaboker v'ad Eis Moed. So if we skip the Targum, then it says V'esh Mirazal, that there are those that say from our Rabbeinu Zichron Levracha. Then it says in parentheses Bracho Samach Beis, which is a Gemara, Shapirshu ad Chatzi Hayom, that even though the plague initially was supposed to be for 3 days, but as David knew, ki rabim rachma, because God has abundant levels of compassion and mercy upon the Jewish people, it didn't last for 3 days, not two, one, but only for half a day. But you can only imagine, if 70,000 people died in half a day, which means it's not just that those 70,000 people would have died in 3 days. It means probably, if you want to, it doesn't say this, but maybe proportionally, another 70,000 would have died that day, and another 140,000 the next day, another 140,000 the next day, which is
what the
three.
Census was, how many were living then? I mean,
it does mention in the psukim which we saw, which we're going to conclude now, but it does say in the sentences before the number, which is pasuk yud, pasuk tes rather, on page 384, which is the last sentence we just saw last time, of the exact number. The 70,000 obviously is a significant amount of people, and we're going to see exactly how this plague stopped, and ultimately we're going to see him building a mizbeach, which is going to be in a very special location, and an interesting purchase as opposed to it being given away, which is how we will next week conclude Shmuel Beis. Have a great